GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, welcome in. 11 o'clock hour. Issel and Louis here. ESPN 680, 105.7, ESPNLouisville.com, and the app, however you are hanging out with us today. We really appreciate it. Of course, the second hour of the show brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky, ky.deltadental.com. All those dental plans, nationwide network of dentists for yourself, for your family, for your employees, and of course, Delta Vision, a vision plan offered through VSP. Check them out, ky.deltadental.com. And on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline, we bring in our 11 o'clock guest for our usual Thursdays. His name is Jay Davis at, oh God, I, Louis. Is it Jay underscore Davis?
Jay Davis underscore 1981.
Is that it?
Yes.
You looked it up.
No, I'm the one.
Ace producer.
It out
Look
every
at you.
Week.
Ace producer, Davey Dill, jumping in.
Hey,
how are you, Jay?
Good. How you doing?
We're doing good. Did you watch Kentucky play basketball in a ballroom last night?
You know what? I did not. Okay. But I see they actually won, like Auburn.
Yeah, they 108-56 over the Dominican
well,
team.
Well,
yeah.
Jay, if you're gonna be a regular on here, you got to at least tune in. What besides eating popcorn, what else were you doing last night?
I got kids to put to bed.
Oh, okay.
That's the kid excuse. All right, that's how you do that.
That takes you 2 hours.
Sometimes, you know, they had a boatload of ice cream at like 7:30 last night. And they were fired.
Jay Davis with us from Cranes, Detroit. Do you put much stock in these exhibition games? Do you try to figure out players? If your own alma mater were playing in it, would you have watched it?
Maybe a little of it. You know, it's hard with these games. You know, a lot of them. I mean, it's summer, you know, a lot of the teams are taking, you know, now they take these trips overseas, wherever, you know, have some fun. And, you know, maybe they stayed out a little too late or, you know, might not be taken seriously because it is a scrimmage. But, you know, the thing that I would look for, you know, other than, you know, actual on-court plays, you know, what the rotation looks like, you know, what new guys are getting minutes, you know, just, you know, different things like that.
Yeah, well, let's get right into your specialty, the NBA. What's going on in Brooklyn, Jay?
You know, this is interesting. You know, I get Joe Tsai, you know, coming out supporting Steve Nash and Sean Marks, but part of that, you know, because when Steve Nash got that job, all the talk was about how he was handpicked by Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. But then Kyrie Irving that same summer came out and said, we don't really need a coach. You know, we're coaches on the floor, which is weird, but it's Kyrie, so what do you expect? But, you know, I the only thing I've been trying to think about, you know, is you know, it's anonymous sources. So, like, where is this coming from? Because either KD, you have these people for the last few years who have been saying that Steve Nash is handpicked by Kevin Durant, and now he wants him fired. So, you know, I don't know what to believe. I don't know where it's coming from, but it's a very, very weird situation, and I am still not sure how this is going to get resolved.
How bad does Kevin Durant look in all this?
I don't know, because he hasn't talked to anybody. You know, that trade request, you know, initially came out 5 or 6 weeks ago. He hasn't talked about it. You know, I don't know, because like I just said, you know, you either – it was before it was Kevin Durant Kevin Durant handpicked Steve Nash, and now he wants him fired. So I don't know what's going on. You know, maybe this is him, you know, pushing to get out of there. But like I told you before, you know, I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks, I don't think he's going to get traded because the packages haven't been good enough. You know, that Rudy Gobert trade screwed up the entire market. That's why Donovan Mitchell's still in Utah. You know, that's why, you know, KD might still be in Brooklyn, even though I don't think he ever wanted to leave Brooklyn in the first place. I saw a report this morning that said initially that Brooklyn asked for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in a Kevin Durant trade. And that kind of, you know, I know when you're in these negotiations, you have to, you start at the top. But I think that's bad management because what if Brad Stevens tells all the teams, hey, you're not going to believe what they asked me for KD. You know, who's going to want to deal with you after that? So I don't know. This is just a really weird situation, and it's kind of magnified because there's nothing else going on with the league right now. So, you know, that this situation is where the entire focus is. So I don't know. It's just really, really weird to me, and I still don't know how it's going to end.
Jay, not only does he want Nash fired, he wants the GM, Sean Marks, fired too. And I know you said he hasn't said anything, so it's all speculation at this point. Is he upset because they didn't extend Kyrie? Is he upset because of the Ben Simmons trade? Why does he want to? I mean, the general manager, if he's upset about, you know, some of the moves they've made, I can understand why he wants Marks fired. But Nash didn't have anything to do with Irving not getting vaccinated. Nash didn't have anything to do with trading for Ben Simmons. That I don't know why he wants both of them fired.
So, you know, the interesting part about all of this is I can't remember if it was, you know, like, you know, after they got swept by the Celtics or the end of the regular season, Kevin Durant spoke glowingly of Steve Nash just about, you know, all the things Steve Nash has had to deal with since he got that job, you know, from Kyrie, you know, being a part-time player and all the COVID injuries and James Harden quitting on the team and Kevin Durant being hurt and missing games due to COVID. He said, you know, Steve Nash, he basically said Steve Nash isn't culpable for how the team's played the last couple of years. And this is another point that I keep coming back to with this team and Steve Nash. Over Christmas, before Kevin Durant got hurt and missed 5 or 6 weeks, that team was in first place in the East, 13 games over 500, and I think Kevin Durant was on track to win the MVP, and Steve Nash probably would have won Coach of the Year if things had played out, you know, if Kevin Durant didn't get hurt. When Kevin Durant got hurt, they were still playing with all these, you know, pretty much replacement guys because of COVID. Kyrie still wasn't able to play. Harden had quit on the team by that point, and they just fell apart. And then when Kevin Durant came back, he basically pulled them out of the dirt to even get them in the playoffs. So it's just a weird situation all around. And, you know, I don't know what's going on in these talks, you know, between Josiah, Kevin Durant, whoever else. But that has to be something that's discussed. Like, look where we were when you were healthy last year. Look what this team was, even in the midst of a lot of turmoil with Kyrie and COVID and all this other stuff. They were in first place in the East, our super competitive East. So I don't like this because I'm just thinking about the basketball part of it. Like, if you could just see that, talk about that, watch some video, watch tape, whatever. If you could just look at that part, the on-court part when Kevin Durant was healthy, and just see what that team was, it should be easy to get this resolved. But there are a lot of other things, you know, attached to it. And that's the one thing, and I'm 40, I'll be 41 in a few weeks. I don't like doing this, but if it were like 1997 or 1998, none of this would be happening. I don't want to use this because this is like involving the best player of all time and, you know, one of the best, you know, second bananas, quote unquote. You know, that last year with the Bulls, those last couple years, they didn't want to pay Scottie Pippen, you know, GM and team owner were trying to take more credit than, you know, the players thought they should have. And they were like, you know what, we're going to go out and we're going to do this for us. You know, we know what we are. We know what we can do. And, you know, this is just one of those situations where I wish the players would just sit down and look at that. These guys actually fit perfectly together. You know, Ben Simmons doesn't have to be a scorer. He can be, he can be super-duper athletic Draymond Green for the next 4 or 5 years of his career. Kevin Durant, you know, is the easiest plug-and-play superstar in the league. You know, he's getting 30 points on 12 shots. Kyrie, I know, you know, he's a bit of a flake, but when he plays, he's unbelievable. He's an unbelievable talent. They have shooting with Joe Harris and Steph Curry. They address some needs, you know, as far as wing depth, because, you know, a lot of last season, including the playoffs, they were small on the perimeter. They got T.J. Warren. I know he's coming off an injury, but, you know, they have more wing depth, you know, guys between 6'6 and 6'9. This is a team, and I know this is on paper, that if they would just look at some of this stuff just from an on-court aspect, that this stuff could be easily resolved, and they could try to prove to everybody that, you know, if things come together, they could win a championship, because I really, really believe they would have a good shot to do that.
Jay Davis with us at @JDavis_1981 on Twitter. He's with Cranes Detroit, joins us every Thursday here on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline in his 11 o'clock spot. This is Issel and Louis, 680-1057. ESPN recently put out their staff votes for who's going to win in each conference in the upcoming season if the rosters stay the same. The Warriors getting a little over half the votes in the West. The Clippers second with a little over 30%. And then those two, the top two to win the title, the Celtics and the Bucks after that. I'm interested because you mentioned that you think the Nets are good enough to compete in the Eastern Conference. They didn't get a single vote in this. Do you think that's because people are assuming that that team's going to break up?
Yeah, you know, it's the unknown. You know, that's what it is, because, you know, even after the finals, you know, before KD's trade request, they had, you know, third or fourth lowest odds to win the title next year. And, you know, I haven't taken a look at him since he put in that trade request. But, yeah, that's totally a product of the unknown, that, you know, that they're not getting any votes. And, you know, I don't necessarily believe that's because people believe he's going to get traded. It's just because they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know, you know, if Kyrie Irving is going to be available. They don't know if he's going to be traded, to be honest. They don't know if Ben Simmons is going to play, and they don't know if KD is going to be with the team.
Jay, a similar question. I don't even know where I got this. I've had it for 2 or 3 days anticipating you coming on the show. But the breakdown that I have, whatever I got this, they break down the NBA teams into six basic categories. Contenders, brink of contenders, playoff teams, play-in teams, looking to be play-in teams, and completely rebuild and in mode. The five teams that they have as contenders, the five teams they think can win the NBA championship, are the Warriors, the Celtics, the Suns, the Bucks, and the Heat. The two teams that they have brink of contenders are the Memphis Grizzlies and the 76ers. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, just based off of, and a lot of that is based on, you know, what happened last season, coaching culture. I think that's a big part of why Miami's in there, because I look at their roster and, you know, I don't necessarily believe they're the team that finished first in the East this year, but, you know, Spoelstra, Pat Riley, you know, Heat culture, quote unquote. The Memphis thing is interesting because Jaren Jackson is going to be out like the first 2 months of the season. And, you know, he's a top three defensive player of the year candidate when he's healthy. And if he could stay out of foul trouble, he'd be an all-star every year. But, you know, Memphis should be good. You know, Philly with a little bit more stability and having everybody in tow, that, yeah, you know, they're right on the brink. I think I said last week, I like the Clippers to come out of the West if everybody's healthy. Just because of, you know, what I mentioned before about that wing depth, you know, that versatility, having a lot of guys between 6'6 and 6'9. you know, the Warriors are the defending champs, so you have to give them that respect. But everybody on that team's getting older. You know, there's guys that want their money. You know, I think the only guy who's up for a deal who signed is Kevon Looney to stay with the team. You know, they lost rotation guys. Bielitsa went back to Serbia. Otto Porter's in Toronto. Gary Payton went to Portland. So they have young guys to step into those roles, but they're going to be asking, you know, guys who didn't play a lot last year, particularly like Moses Moody, you know, to play a lot more minutes. But yeah, I mean, I could see that. I would say those are the top seven contenders right now.
He's Jay Davis. He joins us from Cranes, Detroit. So, you know, the transitioning to college, the announcement comes out that the Big Ten isn't going to be on ESPN anymore, and the deal is essentially with NBC, CBS, and, of course, with Fox. Are you planning on getting an antenna? How are you going to take in the Big Ten going forward?
Oh, well, you know me. I mean, I have Peacock, mostly for pro wrestling now, but that'll change. You know, CBS Sports is available on most packages, so people can get that. You know, FS1, there's even an FS2. But, you know, talking with friends in group chats and stuff, they're worried about, you know, NBC and CBS. But those over-the-air networks are going to bring more eyes, you know, because you have to remember there are demographics who still love to watch college football, you know, who don't have ESPN, you know, who don't have ESPN2. And those people are now going to get to see games every week across a variety of networks still. You know, different time slots, obviously, but I don't think losing ESPN is as big of a deal as people are making it out to be. There's a lot of talk about how, you know, ESPN controls a lot of the narrative, which it does. You know, I love watching game day still. I know a lot of people don't. And, you know, the playoff rankings and things like that. But it's not like if Ohio State's number one, ESPN's just not going to talk about them. You know, if ESPN and Michigan are number one and number two going into their game the last week of the season, it's not like they're not going to talk about them. You know, these big games have been on Fox now for 3 or 4 years, and there's still plenty of coverage of them on ESPN. So, yeah, you know, I think that narrative will get shut down pretty quickly. I'm more interested, you know, and I know grand scheme of things, not a lot of people care about it, about the basketball part, particularly, let's just, you know, the ACC Big Ten Challenge. That's probably going to get phased out. You know, ACC, SEC, since we're going to Fox, I say we because, you know, graduated from Michigan State, going big with Fox, NBC, and CBS, is that going to be, and I know this started a couple years ago, you know, you have these Big Ten, Big East games. Or is it going to be Big Ten, Pac-10 challenge, even if the Pac-10 will deal with it now? You know, what happens to Michigan State in the Champions Classic? You know, do they get phased out of that for, you know, another program? There's just a lot of layers to this. And obviously, I know it's the big fish. People are focusing on football. But there are a lot of, you know, aspects, you know, as far as basketball to be looked at, too.
Jay, I agree with you. I'm a big fan of game day. I think it's a terrific product. You mentioned you have Peacock, and this is just an unbelievable amount of money. Are we headed toward having to pay for the streaming services somewhere down the line to get any athletics on TV?
I don't think so, you know, you know, obviously Fox will have first choice, just like ESPN used to. Fox will get first choice. I believe CBS will get, you know, the second game, and then it trickles down from there. I think what's going to happen with particularly NBC, you know, Notre Dame's still, excuse me, under contract there. So NBC will now have a full day of football where they used to, you know, where for years they only had the one game. CBS still gets, you know, a big league. You know, Fox might have, let's just say, Ohio State, Penn State on Saturday at noon, but that 3:30 game will be Michigan, Michigan State, Michigan, Wisconsin, you know, Michigan State, Iowa, whatever. So that's still a draw. And, you know, all of these games are still major draws. I took a look at some, you know, some TV ratings numbers, and, you know, Michigan, Michigan State on Fox, obviously that was two top 10 teams, drew like 9 million people. That was the highest rated game in the last year. They will get Michigan State, Purdue. All right, that was a week after the Michigan-Michigan State game. Michigan State lost, obviously. But that was, I think, first or second highest rated game that week with close to 5 million viewers. So, and I say that to say there are a lot of people who, when that news came out, with, you know, people were talking about, I'm not paying to watch these Big Ten teams, but the numbers bear out that the Big Ten is still a major, major draw. And, you know, I don't think, going back to your original question, Dan, that we're going to have to worry about, you know, having all these streaming networks. Peacock, a couple years ago, did run, I think it was Notre Dame, Toledo, on their, you know, service. But, you know, there's a joke that a lot of people, you know, make about, well, I'm just going to do a 7-day trial so I can watch this one game. Peacock's not going to run. I think that'll be, like I said, you know, this is the part that people aren't talking about. Peacock's going to be running basketball, you know, Paramount Plus might be, you know, the CBS station, CBS streaming service may be running some basketball. the basketball questions are the ones I have. How is basketball going to be affected by this? You know, and nobody's talking about that, obviously, because, you know, football is a big deal.
Jay Davis joins us, Cranes Detroit, at JDavis_1981, in his usual spot, 11 o'clock on Thursday, here on Esselin and Louis, 680-1057. All right, Jay, yesterday we talked marriage proposals. And that was a thing we chatted about. Dan had a very private proposal back in the 1800s, and then I had one.
Barely told Sherry about it.
And then mine was in public, but we were the only two people on the street that we were on. How did you propose, and would your wife accept and one of the things we debated, the proposal at a sporting event? How would Lisa feel about all these things?
She thinks that's corny. you know, you see that on TV sometimes. She's like, oh, my God, I'd be so embarrassed. You know, because the thing about that is, so there are, I would say there are, and I don't want to speak for women, but, you know, just people in general who would be like, I'll say yes, you know, because there's 40,000 people here. And then, you know, when we get home, you know, say, hey, I don't think that was a good idea. Or, you know, you get, you know, the people who are just like, oh, my God, you're embarrassing me. And they just say no. And the guy is crushed. But, you know, that's on the guy, you know, if you decide to do something like that. Mine was very private. It was in our living room. I remember it was a Monday afternoon. It was like 6 o'clock. I put together this playlist that I actually still have in my phone with like some Al Green and Luther Vandross and, you know, just. They're all like wedding, you know, wedding proposal based songs that I still have on my phone. And you know, obviously that was a special moment, and that's a moment that everybody should remember for the rest of their life.
What was it, a Monday afternoon because there weren't any sporting events on, Jay?
Actually, you know what? It was a Monday. That was, and this is why I'm a nerd. So the day before, I went with our buddy Dave Louie to watch the Lions play the Falcons in London. It was like a 9:30 game, so we went out to watch this game. And I was overserved, and Lisa and I were going for a walk that afternoon, and I almost killed it that I was going to do it, you know, because I had one too many Diet Dr. Peppers, we'll say. That was before Monday Night Football, so I fit that in just right.
Oh, man. God, the Lions. I think they played in London twice. Can you imagine? You're an English guy. You enjoy the NFL, and you're like, why are the Lions here again? What is this crap?
Yeah. Well, now it's in Jacksonville every year, so that's even worse.
Yeah, it's worse. I'm with you. Oh, it's not good. All right, well, he's Jay Davis. Find him on Twitter at JDavis_1981. We will let you get out of here. Kiss those babies for me. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jay.
Right, thank you, guys. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right, there you go.
Bye-bye.
Before Monday Night Football.
Monday afternoon. Who proposes on a Monday afternoon?
Jay Davis, that's who. Out of here, Dan.
Oh, my goodness.
That's great. She said yes. They got three kids. It's great. That's good. It worked. Oh, man. That's one of those. You know, proposals are the you know, the ends justifies the means, right? So if it works out, then you're good to go. It doesn't matter how bad the proposal was, as long as it works out, right? I mean, that is the ultimate ends justifies the means. There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, Sherry and I had many discussions about it, so I had the skids greased pretty well going in. So there wasn't much opportunity for her to turn me down.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, it is time for the culture section of Issel and Louie. When we come back, we will do that. We will chat prehistoric sharks. Dan, have you looked at this yet?
Yes, I have. And this is how did they survive all this time? I mean, this
whoa, whoa, goes. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, okay.
We'll get there on the other side of the break.
Okay. All right. A reminder that this hour of the show is brought to you by our friends at Delta Dental of Kentucky. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. Just call 1-800-955-2030, or you can find them online at ky.deltadental.com.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, final segment here, Issel and Louis, 680, 105.7. ESPNLouisville.com, the app, however you're hanging out. We appreciate it. We'll talk some prehistoric sharks in a minute. We thank our friends at Delta Dental of Kentucky. A reminder, they also have that vision plan through Delta Vision, through VSP. But if you are looking for a dental plan, ky.deltadental.com is where we tell you to go. Individual plans, plans for your family, or plans for your employees, they've got it all. ky.deltadental.com. A reminder that the Reds are on tonight as well at 7 o'clock, 680, 105.7 against the Cubs. Dan, are you looking forward to that game?
Oh, yes. Yes, it'll be exciting. The Cubs actually won a game yesterday. I know the Mets didn't, but yeah, we'll see what happens. But I'm hoping I won't switch over. Well, it'll be one-sided. I might switch over before the Kentucky game is over.
Okay. And, so that is the Field of Dreams game, and we will have that on our air here, 680 1057. You can listen to it there. All right, so rare prehistoric shark caught off the coast of Portugal. I have to admit, I keep fish. I'm interested in fish. This thing scares the hell out of me, Dan.
Well, it should.
it's terrifying.
It's got 300 teeth.
It's hard to describe what they are, but it's essentially like the teeth are, it looks like it has 20 teeth, but in each of the areas that there are teeth, it has like 20 teeth inside of those areas.
Areas, yeah.
Oh, it's terrifying.
300 teeth. It eats fish, obviously, but it also eats other sharks whole. How did this species, it's called a frilled,
yes,
is that correct?
Frilled shark.
Yeah. F-R-I-L-L-E-D, a frilled shark. And it dates back, this species dates back to the dinosaur ages.
The Cretaceous period, yeah.
How in the world did this species survive? I mean, you're talking about millions of years.
It does not. You know what it looks like, Dan? It looks like it was a dinosaur, and then one of them fell into the ocean and just lived. And, like, it's just living, right? Because the gills are very strange. This is a terrifying thing.
yes. I agree. I don't want to come anywhere near Portugal.
It's almost got the fins of like a manatee, and then it looks fake, right? I mean, that's the thing.
It does. It looks like fake.
Yeah. Go ahead, Avery.
Yeah.
You see, when I saw this, my thought process was it's the love child of a snake, a mermaid, and a shark somehow. Don't know how they did it.
Yeah. That's actually not a bad descriptor.
But it's their love child.
There you go. Yeah. You know how they survived, Dan? It can eat other sharks.
Yeah. That's how. That's what I said. Whole, it says. They don't even bite them. They just swallow them whole. It's hard to tell the size of this thing in the picture that they have. I guess it has to be pretty good size, huh?
Obviously, to eat other sharks, yeah, but it's a pretty wild thing. I don't know how I came across this, but it was one of those things that just kind of popped up. By the way, they also have these all along the coastline of France, Japan, out in Micronesia, along the coastline of Peru and Chile, in Western Africa, and they completely surround New Zealand.
Oh, man.
So these are literally so common that they are listed as no concern on the International Conservation Union's website. So, yeah, there you go. Oh, and they have them in California. How about that?
Ooh.
Hawaii, too. Hey,
that'll keep you off the beaches.
Oh, man. I mean, it's just – it's remarkable. The teeth are really the thing. It almost looks like someone went in, installed a bunch of sharpened bones in this thing's mouth, and then curved them. I mean, that's what it looks like. I can't imagine getting bitten by this thing. You'd be done. I mean, it's
now they must stay pretty deep in the water,
right? Yeah,
or we'd hear about them attacking people, wouldn't we?
Yeah, for sure. In 2018, the New Zealand Threat Classification System identified the frilled shark as an animal at risk, naturally uncommon, not easily found living in the wild. Well, that classification just means what Dan said. They live very deep in the ocean, and it's somewhere that we don't go very often.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
They found them at a depth of 2,866 feet.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable. So in 2007, a Japanese fisherman caught one that was 5.2 feet long. And then a 4.9 foot long one.
I was going to say, I thought they'd be bigger than that.
Yeah, and so that was a female at the surface of the ocean and delivered it to a marine park where the shark died hours after captivity. Yeah, they are not meant to be in it. You can't recreate the pressure of being that deep in the water with an aquarium. You just can't do it. And so, don't. If you catch a frilled shark, Dan, you know you're talking about getting an aquarium. Do not get a frilled shark, okay? You understand me?
You know, talking about being in captivity, today I was reading is the anniversary of Alcatraz first opening. Mm. And they, you know, that we all know, I mean, Al Capone went there and the Birdman of Alcatraz and Public Enemy number one, all these terrible, terrible criminals all went there. But they said the reason that they put it on the island of Alcatraz was mostly prisoners who were completely unable to be rehabilitated. Mm. Yeah, so if you went to a normal prison and you know you couldn't follow the rules or were unruly, they sent you to Alcatraz and they said your four basic the four basic needs that were covered there was food, clothing, housing, and medical attention. Anything else you had to earn. So I guess that means like if you were a smoker, you had to behave yourself or you didn't get any cigarettes. They finally had to close it, Louie, because it was so expensive to operate. And that's why they went to off of the island.
But it is also the 93rd anniversary of Babe Ruth hitting his 500th home run. He became the first player, obviously, in Major League Baseball history to hit 500 home runs. And it is the, believe it or not, 124 years ago today, in the Spanish-American War, the United States invaded Puerto Rico, and ever since, Puerto Rico has been part of the United States.
I remember it well.
Yeah, that was the year after you and Sherry got engaged.
You're real smart. Hey, while Louie finishes laughing, I want to...
A little too proud of myself.
I want to remind everybody that go see our friends at Bear Nose Pizza. There are 14 area locations in Kentucky. Anna, great food, great drinks, and great people. Bear Nose has you covered for lunch or dinner. You can carry out, dine in, or they'll deliver it to your house. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
And it is the 707th anniversary of the King of England not being able to buy bread because the famine in Europe had gotten so bad in 1315. So there you go. All right. That's enough of this date in history. But 500 home runs for Babe Ruth on this date.
The thing that makes that so amazing, Louie, is back in that day, 20 home runs might lead the league in homers.
By a lot.
I mean, it was. People weren't hitting 50 a year. I mean, that's just amazing that he could do it in that generation of baseball.
Yeah, Ty Cobb had 4,189 career hits. 117 were home runs.
Wow.
I mean, it just wasn't part of the game.
Yeah.
Wasn't. So kind of a remarkable thing. Do you know Ty Cobb's progression as a person with his racist attitudes? Do you know that story?
I don't. I know he was from Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia Peach. Yeah.
Which would make sense. But tell me the story.
So I mean, there are horrible stories of him, including
he's supposed
like
to be a real rascal,
beating up a black guy because he's a black guy, and his wife's in the stands crying, and he goes into the stands and beats her up. Like that level of terrible, okay? And later in life, he befriends Joe Louis, who's from Detroit, right?
Yeah.
And he gets to know Joe Louis, and Joe Louis completely changes his outlook on race. And later in his life, Ty Cobb is broke. He's out of money. And Joe Louis pays for his funeral.
Hmm.
He had become that close friends with him. And so, yeah, he had this moment. At the end of his life, he had some money, Joe Louis had, I flipped it around. Ty Cobb had done very well. He had made money. He had been a manager. I'm flipping it around. When Joe Louis died, Ty Cobb paid for his funeral care of his family.
Yeah.
I needed to flip that around. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I was going to say Joe Louis really fell on hard times. I met Joe Louis one time.
No way.
Yeah. You know what he was doing? He was in the lobby of Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, shaking hands with people that came in the door.
Right.
I
flipped that around. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So Cobb paid for Joe Louis's funeral.
Yeah. Flip it around. If someone is listening and enjoys boxing at all and has never looked up Joe Louis highlights, you can see all of modern boxing happening in his fights. I mean, he is so far ahead of what he was.
Yeah.
What other guys were going to do.
I guess Muhammad would be considered the greatest heavyweight of all time, but Joe Louis isn't far behind.
No, he's in that top five, top 10 kind of list for sure.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
No question.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Joe Louis, I mean, like I obviously the arena in Detroit, where they played hockey forever was named after him. But he, he was really known for, like, he would date white women back then, and that was the faux pas back then, right?
Yeah.
And he would go through, and then, of course, they would try to line up the Great White Hope. That's where he's actually the guy who fought against those guys, and that's where that term came from. Max Bayer, of course, Rocky Marciano, all those guys. And so, yeah, just a terrific fighter. But if you watch his style, I mean, even though Muhammad Ali was very clearly the best heavyweight when he was going and doing those things, if you watch Joe Louis, you see some tinges of what Ali developed later on and made better even. And so, yeah, really, really important figure in the early part of the 20th century in boxing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. That was a golden era. I mean, there was and it lasted a long time.
Yeah, boxing, baseball, and horse racing, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the heavyweight champ, I mean, the heavyweight champion of the world was usually one of those guys. Floyd Patterson. Who was Sonny Liston? Oh. I mean, those guys were folk heroes. I mean, the heavyweight champion, he was right up there on the list of the most popular athletes in the country.
Yeah, no question. And those were appointment television for a long time, even getting into George Foreman. You mentioned Joe Frazier, Larry Holmes, Evander Holyfield later on. who was the British boxer that came over and beat Holyfield? And now I'm totally forgetting his name. I thought he was way underrated, and I think he got no credit because Lennox Lewis, right? Wasn't that his name? Later because I thought, everyone told me, the division's down, the division's down. I'm like, or Lennox Lewis is really a great boxer. You know, I mean, sometimes the guy at the top is at the top for a reason. But, Holmes was the other guys that you mentioned. Joe Frazier, obviously. But, yeah, okay, I'm reading one here.
Ingemar Johansson. Do you know that name?
I do.
I think he beat Patterson, didn't he? He was the heavyweight champion of the world for a short period of time.
Yeah,
Ingemar Johansson.
Yeah, and so, but yeah, I think, so he's got Joe Louis ranked number one on his list here. This is on Ring, for Ring Magazine, but, yeah, I think the reason you would put, I think someone's correcting me that Ty Cobb died in 1961 and Joe Louis before that. Joe Louis died in 1981. Need to check the story. Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll check that out. There's something.
I didn't think Ty Cobb was still alive when I met
I know
Joe
they
Louis.
Were friends later in life, and so I'm just mixing up the story. This list of heavyweights, I think where you would put Joe Louis on that list is because guys started to mimic his style, right?
Yes.
He was influential that way. So,
yeah.
All right. Hey, did you see this highlight where the minor leaguer hits for the home run cycle?
I did.
I've never even heard of this.
I didn't know it was a thing.
Yeah.
It's a AA prospect, Chandler Redmond, for the St. Louis Cardinals, and he hits a home run in four consecutive innings, right?
Yes. And he, so people can understand, he hits a the first one is a two-run home run, then he hits a grand slam, then he hits a solo home run, and then he hits a three-run home run. And that's incredible. I mean, it's unbelievable. I've never even heard of this. And so, yeah, I mean, it's he's a player for the Cardinals farm system. Springfield Cardinals, was that what it was, Dan?
I'm not sure.
Double-A prospect, hits a home run in four straight innings, a solo shot, two-run jack, three-run jack. And a,
when he hits slam. The last one, when he hits the last one in the eighth inning, the score becomes 22-4.
I love they left him in. That's great.
Yeah.
What's actually amazing to me is three of these are opposite field, right?
Yeah.
So he's
he's
got power to the opposite field in Double A, and this stadium they're playing in is the fence in left field is considerably taller in Austin than it is in the other parts of the stadium. So he's jacking them out over the tallest part
over
of the fence.
The tallest fence, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty great. Yeah. I had never heard of this before.
I hadn't either.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a name for such a thing, the home run cycle.
How you would even have a name for it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
All right, quick reset. Issel and Louie here, 680-1057. Bob up next at noon, and then, of course, the first take with Sweezy and Streetle at 3 o'clock. Reds tonight at 7, so you'll get a bonus hour 6 to 7 over there. I assume Cardinal Insider is happening tonight at 5:30.
Cardinal Insider on 93.9 at 5:30, and today is Thursday, so we have Soccer City.
Well, Soccer City over here at 6 o'clock.
Whoa, so, all right. Man, we got a full evening.
There you go.
Evening. Now, you said something earlier to Ben, and I don't want to show my ignorance, but I think I do that on a pretty regular basis. You said something about a gift, GIF, and talking about Cal's arm motion. What is a GIF?
All right. So when one of the things that surprised me about getting to know Dan Issel is you love emojis. Do you know what an emoji is?
I'm not that stupid.
Well, hang on. Okay. So a GIF is kind of like a movie version of an emoji.
Okay.
So it's a very short clip. Usually they're like 2 or 3 seconds long, and they express something like, you know, let's say you sent me something that was good news, like your grandson pitches a no-hitter or something.
Okay.
I might send you pack a short video of two guys high-fving each other.
I gotcha.
Like that kind
so
of thing.
That's
what those are. And so at the end of that, if you want to go ahead and click on that Twitter thing. Watch Cal at the end of this clip. So this is, if people are wondering, this is from 729 last night at Kentucky MBB. Damian Collins goes up for the dunk, and everyone's celebrating, and the guys run over to him. They're very excited. And then about 15 seconds in, Cal's doing this thing with his arms.
He's running in place.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I think he's saying is Damian beat his man down the floor. And I think what he's saying is if you get out and run, you're going to get those kinds of opportunities. I think that's what he's saying.
I think you're right, because I think you can read his lips and he says run. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the guy sitting next to him with the Adidas shirt on?
He is wearing an Adidas shirt. good call.
He changes it at halftime after Nike called somebody and said, get that guy a Nike shirt.
Man, that's great. But yeah, but Cal doing like the running in place thing, I fully expect to see that on the internet this year. So
I gotcha.
So that's what
I
guess. No, that's not. I think you knew what they were, you just didn't know what they were called.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
All right.
Okay.
Well, good enough. So, all right. Give the, you know, we talked about the first hour of the show, but go ahead and give Kentucky basketball a letter grade for last night, putting aside the broadcast.
Putting aside the broadcast and putting aside the competition, I would give them a B+.
Okay.
I think the individual efforts were terrific. I think they need to work on the team concept at both ends of the floor. That's why I wouldn't give them an A.
Okay. All right. I will go A- for that, because I actually thought the individual efforts were worth it, and all of the newcomers played well. And I think that was the thing I was looking for last night. I know what I'm getting with Oscar. I know what I'm getting with some of the other guys. But, you know, to get decent performances out of the new guys was, I think, the best part.
And we're going to have Kyle Tucker of The Athletic on tomorrow at 10:30 to talk about $2.75 million for Oscars NIL. We'll be here tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We hope you will be, too. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day.
UPS is hiring warehouse workers, package handlers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying up to $21 an hour and offer great benefits, including 100% paid tuition, plus housing for some with our Metro College or Loop programs. Shift your team, shift your future, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference. UPSjobs.com.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER now for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.